keep your Bible handy, if you will. We're going to look over several things here in the book of Colossians. Colossians chapter 2, verse 8. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And ye are complete in Him, which is the head of all principality and power. I want to just stop here, and I want you to notice the warning. Beware. There are some who would come and steal from you, whether it's through their supposed love of wisdom, their philosophy, or the empty lies, the vain deceit that they speak, that they present nice-sounding things and nice-looking things, but they're lies. They don't provide any good for you. They lead you astray, and they steal from you. Those things are after the traditions of men. That's where their authority is found. They're after the basic elements of the world. They're not of God. They're not heavenly. So beware, because there are things in this world that are taught, he's saying, in the name of religion, even in the name of Christ, that will lead you away from Him and will cause you to suffer great loss. Because the reality is, if you want treasure, you want riches, you want blessing, that not in the sense of the material things, but in the things that make you a better person, promise you heaven, change your life, well, you have to come to Christ, because in Him lives the fullness of the Godhood or Godhead in a body. And it's in Him that you're complete. He's the great King. There is no authority greater than He is. So what He's telling us is that Christ is the great King. There is no lack in Christ. And we will be full or complete in Him. And that is to the glory of God. Now, I want you to get a picture of what the Colossian church was facing. There were those who were called Gnostics in those times. There are some who still call themselves by that name today. The word Gnostic, the name Gnostic, comes from the Greek word for knowledge, Gnosis. They felt that they were an elite group of people who were in the know. They believed that there was some sort of fullness out there. Whether it was a God or a number of gods, they didn't necessarily always care. They felt like probably that there was, some of them felt like it seemed like there was probably a large number of gods who made up this fullness of Godhood. They felt like that there was a treasure of wisdom and knowledge to be found there. And that to get to that point, that a person had to pursue a certain sort of lifestyle. Some of them said that what that lifestyle was a lifestyle of drawing back from the pleasures of this world, that pleasures that are gifts from God. And so they believed that any sort of fleshly pleasure at all was good. You probably didn't need to really enjoy a good meal. Just eat enough to survive. There's a saying that he gives to us, that's one of the saying of them in verse 21 of chapter 2. Touch not, taste not, handle not. And so it was a sin in their minds. For them, if they're going to attain to this fullness of knowledge, and they've got to recede from all other pursuits, so that when a man and a woman are supposed to be honoring each other in marriage, giving themselves to each other in marriage, that as a matter of strengthening their relationship, it's a matter of actually worshiping God together even. They said, No. From now on, you need to live celibately. You don't need to enjoy this life. What you need to do is pursue this knowledge. And so they withdrew themselves, much like
monks, much like nuns. And so they withdrew themselves. Others looked around and they said, well, it really doesn't matter at all. The flesh is only an illusion. In fact, Jesus didn't even come in the flesh. The flesh is only an illusion. So really, whatever you do in the flesh, it really doesn't matter because it's only an illusion. What matters is what is spiritual. Just go and do whatever you want to. Others came along and said, what we need to do in the middle of all of this is if we're going to gain this great wisdom and knowledge, we need to put this great focus on the angels. And we need to have visions of angels. We need to hear words from angels. We need to worship angels. And so when they began to look at Jesus, they said, well, all He is somebody that's just like you and I are. Except He attained the fullness. And so that's why Paul is writing. He says, no, listen. You want fullness? You've got to understand who Jesus is. In Him, the fullness of the Godhead dwells in a body. He is not part of the fullness. He didn't attain the fullness. He is one with the Father. You look at Him and you're going to see the fullness of God there. And He walked among us in a body. And if you're going to have the fullness and you're going to really be right with God and you're really going to be in the know, the only way you're going to do that is through Christ. Don't let anyone come and steal your spiritual legacy that is in Christ by leading you away from Him. Because all of that is empty. So let's build up back up to this, beginning in chapter 1 and verses 3 through 7. His gratitude to God is that they trusted the Lord, loved the saints, because they had a hope in them that they had heard in the truth of the gospel. And it was bearing fruit. In other words, he's reminding them, do you remember how that you were saved? How that you were made right with God? You heard the good news that Jesus died for your sins, arose from the grave, and was ascended to heaven, seated at the right hand of God, God having accepted the work that He had done. And you have now laid up, treasured up for you a hope, an assurance, a confidence, and you're just waiting for it because God promised it to you. In other words, he's telling them, you want to talk about fullness? You have a full hope. You want to talk about treasures? Your treasure is in heaven. And God has laid it up for you, and you have every reason through the Lord Jesus Christ to look forward to that with great pleasure and anticipation. So he prays for them in verse 9 that they would be full because all of their blessings are in Christ and they need wisdom and spiritual understanding from Him. So that they could please the Lord. Why should they please the Lord? Because in verses 13 and 14, they are redeemed. They're forgiven in Christ who shed His blood. We have the redemption, the forgiveness of our sins through Him. That's how we're right with God. That's how we know God. Jesus reached out and made a bridge, so to speak, between God and man. When you read 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 5, where you read there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave Himself a ransom for all. What he's saying is that Jesus came into this world in the flesh, took our sins upon Himself, died for our sins, rose from the grave to make peace between us and God. He has joined heaven and earth together for those who trust the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, that's how you're going to know God. Now this is crucial. We've got to see exactly how important this is. There are people who are living today feeling like their knowledge of God, their spirituality, depends on a way of life. Depends on a certain way they feel. Depends on certain rituals that they must partake in. And so, one fellow has to go to Mass and confessional so many times per year. Another fellow has to be baptized and speak in tongues in the name of Jesus and be careful that he doesn't fall into sin ever again. to be right with God. Another one has to come, and he has to live his life, and having been sprinkled as a child and gone through confirmation, that everything's going to be fine. And Paul says, no, your spirituality is based upon the simple fact that Jesus died for your sins, rose from the grave, and is at the right hand of God. Only through Christ, not the rituals, are you right with God. Did you know there's many a person think they, because they grew up in an old-time Baptist church, that everything's fine with them? That ritual won't help you either. You will die and go to hell with the name Baptist if you don't trust Jesus. There's a story told one time about this woman that was a very, very staunch Baptist. And somebody said, Granny, said if the Lord came back and you asked if he was a Baptist and he said no, what would you think? She said, I know it wasn't the Lord. Well, I'm Baptist born and Baptist bred, and when I die, I'll be a Baptist dead. But I'm going to tell you something, brother. You don't go to heaven because of a Baptist church. It is not any of that that makes you right with God.
Amen.
It's because our sins are forgiven in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
That's the only reason. Not only that, but look at verses 15 through 19. He's the image of the invisible God. He's the firstborn of every creature. Creation began with Christ. He is the head of it all, and he is the creator. He made everything. Heaven, earth, visible, invisible, all of the powers and authorities of this world made by Christ. He is before everything. Everything exists today and is held together by him. And he is ahead over the church. The church is his body. God the Father was pleased that the fullness be in Christ. Stop and think about how simple this is in one sense. He's telling us there's, because of the fullness being in Christ from the beginning to the end, being creator and savior and sustainer and keeper of all things in us, what is he? He is the source of everything for us. He's the fullness. He's the treasurer of all goodness. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 3 says that he has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. And because all fullness is in him, then we can have confidence in our salvation and our spirituality. We don't need to reach out somewhere else to hunt for it. You see, every now and then, you hear the idea, and this is not, I guess, unique to any group of people. There are those who feel like that sometimes what a person has to do is for them to get right with God, they've got to pray, and 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 they've got to pray until finally, you know, something washes over them, and they have prayed through. Even that as a ritual is not right. Let me tell you why. You don't have to pray through because Jesus paid through. That's what he's telling us now. It's all about Jesus. How in the world can you have Christianity if you're not trusting only in Christ? So in verses 20 through 23, that's exactly what he says. Jesus went to the cross to make peace, to where all of us could be reconciled to him, to God, because we were enemies, we were alienated in our minds because of our sins, and we are now reconciled so that Christ would present us to the Father holy, without blame, so that nobody can look and point a finger. Did you know at the day of judgment that the child of God can stand there, and if the devil came face to face with you and said, Justin, God, let me tell you, Justin is one sorry low down sinner, let me tell you all about it. You can look the devil in the eye and say, oh no, you're a liar. All that you said is true, but it's been cleared by the blood of Jesus.
Amen.
I tell you what, that's something to get excited about, isn't it?
Amen.
It's good to be saved.
Amen.
He's redeemed us. But he said, let me tell you something, verse 23. You must continue in the faith. You must be grounded. You must be settled. Don't you stop trusting Jesus. People who say they trust Jesus and then back away, he says, they're missing out.
Amen.
Our completeness is in Christ, he goes on to say. I'm a minister of the gospel. I'm speaking the mystery. Verse 26, oh, they love the mysteries because we're the only ones in the know. We've attained to the point that we know the mystery. He says, no, no, no. The mystery has been hidden. But now it's manifest to the saints. And that mystery is that Christ presents us perfect because Christ is in us the hope of glory. That's the mystery. But it's no mystery to those who recognize that Jesus is all to the saint. So he goes on into chapter number 2, and that's what he says. We want you to grow. We want you to have your hearts knit together. We want you to have a full assurance of understanding. We want you to know the mystery of God because it's in Christ, and in Him are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. You want to be in the know? There's only one way to know. You know Jesus. If you don't know Jesus, you don't know Jack. But what he's telling them is all these other people out here, they're saying they're in the know. They're coming and teaching you all the things, and they're telling you you're not spiritual, you're not godly, you're not holy because you don't go this path, you don't go that path, you don't do this, that, and the other. He said, if you know Jesus, that is what counts. Keep trusting Jesus, grow in Christ, and learn from Him. And so he goes on, he encourages them in verses 4 through 7, and he warns them that what they need to do is to keep walking in Christ. They received Christ by faith. They received Him fully. They need to keep walking in Christ, keep trusting in Christ, being rooted in Him, built upon Him, established by believing the truth that they've been taught about the Lord Jesus Christ, and abounding in faith, being thankful as well. If you want to grow in the Lord, you want to experience spiritual wealth, you keep trusting Jesus. You keep learning of Jesus. You keep letting Him teach you. You keep believing the truth. He's going to enlighten you where all these other people say they're enlightening you and they're leaving you in the dark. And He said, beware of them. Back to our text. Don't let them come into you as a general would to another country and conquer you and take the spoil, the riches of your city, and take it away from you. Don't let them do that. They will do that to your spiritual life. Whether it's through their philosophy where they think they have everything figured out, and so they just sit down with human wisdom and they get so smart that they don't even themselves know what they're talking about and understand. Or they come to you with these empty lies that sound so good. Don't let them seduce you. Don't let them come bring these basic things that are just worldly things. Don't let them lead you away from Christ. Because it's in Him that the fullness of the Godhead dwells bodily. Remember, we saw in verses 15 through 19 of chapter 1, He's the Creator. He's the image of the invisible God. John chapter 1, remember again, He said He's the Creator. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. Without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life. And the life was the light of men. Verse 14, and the Word, God, was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory, the glories of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. He brought grace. He brought truth when He came in the flesh. Our Creator, the eternal Son of God. The fullness is there in Him. Do you understand this morning that in the Lord Jesus Christ, there is no lack of anything? Nothing. When He speaks about Him being our Creator, being before time, bringing everything into being, being the invisible God, the image of the invisible God, all He's telling us is that all of these things about Jesus mean that He has no limits. He's all wise. He's all powerful. He's all knowing. He's all gracious. He's all holy. There is no limit to the goodness of the Lord Jesus Christ and His fullness. And in Him, we are full. We are complete. We're complete in Him.
He's the head of all principality and power. Remember how Paul told the Philippians that God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name? That at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. He's coming from Isaiah chapter 45, verses 22 and 23. Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else. I have sworn by myself, the word hath gone forth out of my mouth in righteousness and shall not return, that unto me every knee shall bow, every tongue shall swear, that God who is the Savior, Jesus the Lord, Jesus Christ, every knee will bow to Him. He rules over all. What Paul is implying when he says that is, hey listen, let them have their little rinky-dink pretend gods if they want to. You got something a whole lot better. There's no comparison. Everything you need is in the Lord Jesus Christ. You are complete in Him. You have salvation in Him. Do you know what he said in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3 about Jesus? When he had by himself purged our sins, he sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. By himself. Not only meaning that he did it alone, but that he was the sacrifice that he made. He didn't take a lamb. He gave himself for us. And when he got through, God received him and he sat down on the right hand of God. His work was finished. It was sufficient for us as our Savior. That's why in John chapter 19 and verse 30, as he's dying on the cross, that he cries out, "It is finished." I mean, that wasn't a little whimper. I'm done for. That was a triumphant cry. Touchdown! Home run! We've made it across the finish line. I've accomplished everything I intended to do. And the whole world can be saved now if they trust me. Amen. I've reached the goal. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30 and 31. Of Him that is of God are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, He that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. You want to boast? You have to boast in the Lord Jesus Christ, because God sent Him and He is what? Wisdom. He's our righteousness. He's our holiness. He's our Redeemer. He's the one that sets us free from sin. All through the way, our standing with God, our walk with God, our power to conquer sin, all found in Jesus. And He says, you're complete in Him. And all your needs. Remember Philippians chapter 4, verse 19? You're a bunch of poor folks, He says. And you're so poor that you reach down, if you read 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and 9, those Macedonian people, they reached down so deep that they were digging in their grocery money, seemed like, to send Paul an offering to help him carry the gospel. Those were some generous people, but they were poor. He said in chapter 4 that even you lacked opportunity, and when the chance arose, you, not because you had it, but because you wanted to do it, you gave. And he said, and my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Everything you need. Everything. You realize that the problem with the world today, every problem in the world today, comes down to the fact that people are looking to satisfy their needs outside of Jesus. You know why people fight? Look at James chapter 4, the first three verses. They fight because we want our way. And instead of seeking the glory of God, we want our way. Amen. Somebody once said that the theme song of hell is probably, "I did it my way." Don't know if Sinatra or Elvis are singing it, but I can see it. I did it my way. Got to do it my way. Why? Because we want satisfaction. We look at this world and we look at people as a means to an end. The means to satisfy ourselves. Did you know that most people in this world are users? Ever had a relationship with somebody that was just based upon the fact that you just enjoyed each other rather than because I can get this from him and she can get this from me. People talk about relationships, especially marriage, as being give and take. How about just give and give? And if we realize that, hey, I have everything I need in Christ, it makes a difference. There are people, they stomp around, they throw fits. They want to insist that everybody go along with them. They want people to bow down and kiss their ring, so to speak, as if they were the Pope or something. And you know what their problem is? They're looking for satisfaction. They're trying to find pleasure in their way. They don't think that there's any other way. They have erected an altar to their self. And they want everyone to bow at it. The problem is, they're not realizing what they have in Christ if they would but trust Him. That's why when you look at chapter 3 and begin about verse 18, he doesn't say anything about family relationships, work relationships, or any other relationship until he's already taught us about what we have in Christ. Because when you and I come to the point that we recognize what we have in Christ and who we are in Him, it makes us the better person. And it makes us realize that, hey, we will never be in a perfect relationship at home, at work, at school, at church. We won't. And that I need not expect from anybody, even the one that's closest to me in this world, my spouse, I need not expect them to fulfill and satisfy every need that I have. They can't. Only Jesus can. And when I come to the point that I'm satisfied with the blessing that I have in Christ, my marriage gets better. Not just because it makes my wife different, but because it makes me different. But a lot of people want God to change their wives. A lot of people want God to change their husband, but they don't ask God to change me. There's a lot of people want God to change their boss, want God to change their employees, want God to change their co-workers, but they don't say, God, change me. And that's the problem. And so when you come on down then, and he talks about how that Jesus conquered sin and conquered death in chapter 2, verses 11 through 15. He overcame it. He's just letting us know sin is conquered in our lives through the forgiving grace of God in Christ who died and rose, conquering sin and death. Sin is conquered. We just need to walk in faith and God will help us overcome. And if that's the case, then in verses 16 through 23, he said, so don't let anybody sit in judgment over you with their rules and regulations that aren't found in God's Word. Refuse the judgmental people. Reject their ways. Don't yield to their ways. I was thinking last night, I guess it was. Most of y'all remember the time when it was preached hard about how sinful it was to own a television set. Now you can see a lot on television you don't need to see, and obviously everybody knows that we need to use discernment and be very, very careful. I remember the first time that I had a DVD drive on my computer. Didn't even have a TV. I remember the first time I popped a DVD in there. And the shame that I felt for going against 30 some odd years of teaching. And I was watching John MacArthur preach. And I felt like I'd sin, you know? Can you imagine that? He said, don't bow down to that. Don't bow to that. Don't yield to that. Don't let people condemn you and say that you're lost because of that.
Churches, sometimes in the past, they used to split about whether they ought to pass the plate or bring it up here. Really? They would fuss about that. Make big stinks. He says, you know, you better watch those man-made rules. Don't let anybody condemn you because of that. You're in Christ. Don't yield to that. And then chapter 3, the first 4 verses, he says, your minds need to be changed. Knowing who you are in Christ and knowing that Christ is on the right hand of the Father, you are in Him. You are risen with Christ. Your life is hidden with Christ in God. He is the source of your life. Don't go looking for your pleasures on this earth. Let your mind, your thoughts, your affections, your passions be set on heavenly things. Don't look for your satisfaction and joy in this earth. There is no fullness that this world can give you that won't leave you empty. But set your affections on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Don't seek fulfillment in religions and relationships and possessions and positions and power, prestige, or whatever things that people seek after today. We are risen with Christ, and so we should seek a godly satisfaction from the only source of satisfaction, the fullness, which is Christ. He is everything you need. Have you ever seen a time such as today? I've talked to old people, listened to old people who's heard. Things have just really changed drastically. I think much can be said, whether you talk about the 50s or the 60s and the early 70s, whether, you know, it was the advent of rock and roll, or it was sex and drugs, or the free love, or whatever all of that was, you know, back in those days. But there's been drastic changes. And one of the things that changed very, very drastically is that people are looking more and more for satisfaction and contentment. If we knew, it would probably boggle our minds how many are depending on a pill to help them make it through the day because they're just so down and out and depressed. I'm going to tell you something. I understand that there's a physical component at times, but the majority of the depression that we see around us is spiritual in nature.
Amen.
Are somebody going to come right up here? Or what? Over here. That's a general direction. It may not be a pill. It may be. It may be a powder. It may be a rock. They may go to town and get it in a bottle, or they may just go to the neighbor to visit her or him. Or either they come to their religion. You know, we're so, so holy. And we're better than everyone around us. And he says, wait a minute, wait. All of those things are earthly things. Your focus needs to be on Christ. He is in heaven, and He dispenses His blessings to all who trust Him. Keep your mind on Jesus. And that's why you begin at chapter 3, verses 5 and on, how he talks about how we should put away anger, greed, and lust, and division, and we should walk in the way of love, and patience, and long-suffering, yielding to the wonderful peace that comes to us from God's Word, seeking to honor God, who does all things for His glory. Because you see, the reason we are complete in Christ is so that we could give God glory through Him. So that we could look and say, God, we recognize Your greatness is displayed only through Him. Your love, and Your mercy, and Your grace are displayed in our lives only as we trust in You because of Jesus. What he said in Romans chapter 11, verse 36, of Him and through Him and to Him are all things, to whom be glory forever. God will just show you and me just how great He is if we will trust His Son. There's no limit to what He can do for us. You remember what He told the people in Malachi They were stealing from him because they weren't giving like they should have been. They weren't giving their tithes and offerings. He said, you know what you ought to do? You ought to put me to the test. He said, you ought to put me to the test and just see. I can open the window of heaven and pour out a blessing on you that you can't handle. How many times in our lives have we ever been so contented and so satisfied and so happy that we just wanted to say, God, stop, I can't take any more? Shame on us, because we really don't know much about that, do we? No. But coming back to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, if Christ is of God, made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. That means that God gets the glory in everyone who trusts Jesus. God shows His greatness in His forgiving love, His keeping love, His love that will guide us through our lives, His power that will hold us up and strengthen us to please Him, strengthen us to love Him, strengthen us to honor Him, strengthen us to face life and conquer the difficulties that come our way if we trust Him alone. He gets the glory because He's showing just how great and how good He is. And then we turn around and we say, thank you, Lord, for being so good. Because the reality is, we have to understand, every day of our lives, we need the saving grace and power of God. We need the sanctifying grace and power of God. We need the keeping grace and power of God. And it only comes through Christ, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And God is just waiting for you and me to trust Him through the Lord Jesus Christ. Just waiting so that He can show us just how great He is when we trust Him.